Would you agree that our lives are fast-paced these days? Would you agree that sometimes it is difficult just to come up for air? We are so busy. And here's the point of this message series. This digital age, the internet and the digital age and all that goes with it, that was supposed to save us so much time and make our lives so efficient, have made us the busiest generation that's ever lived. Would you agree with that? We are moving so fast, and the digital age moves so fast, it's nearly impossible to keep up. So in this message series, I want to offer to you that now and then we need to back away. Now don't hear me say, I think First Baptist Church of Shiloh should go offline. That's not only unlikely and not only not preferable, it's impossible. In our day and time, we live online. We work online. I'm one of those people that works in an online environment. I would say easily at least 50% of my work now depends on the online environment. But at the same time, we've got to find margin. We've got to find space. We've got to find some breathing room. Now and then, folks, we've got to unplug, go offline, come up for air, and look at our lives. And the real fear is that the online world, the digital age, now has control of us instead of us controlling it. We are grafted into it so much we don't even realize it. We're like Neo in the Matrix waking up and finding out we've been plugged in all our lives and didn't even know it. We are responsible to find that space, that margin. You're going to hear me use the term margin quite a lot in this study, so let's get a mental picture now of what I'm talking about when I use that term. You can imagine in your mind sitting down with a blank piece of paper and writing someone a letter. And when you write that letter, you naturally leave margins on the left and on the right and on the top and on the bottom. And we know what margin is. It's white space. It's where there are no words. That's comfortable for us. We do that naturally. But imagine for a moment you sit down to write the same letter and leave no margin. You start at the very top, just the very tip edge of the paper, and you write from the far left to the far right. You write every space until you get down to the bottom, and you're not finished. You know what you ran out of? Margin. Margin is that unfilled space. And it applies in our lives. And here's our problem, folks. In the pace of this digital age, we're running out of margin. We are pulled as far as we can be pulled in every area of our lives, and we're badly in need of going offline, so to speak, finding margin in our lives once again. Finding that breathing space, getting control of the way we live our lives, with the ultimate goal being that we are living our lives for Christ. Because as Jesus himself said, we're living our lives for somebody, and we're the ones who decide who it's for. And we are responsible to make that margin, to find that room, to say, you know what, I'm going to unplug a while, I'm going offline a while, I'm going to live my life with the internet, and I'm in control of it, but I'm not letting it control me. And this digital age, as fast-paced as it is, it's not going to control me. We're responsible for that. Let me give you an example from my own life. In 2011, Bo and Andrea Watkins introduced me to Dropbox. Now, if you don't know what Dropbox is online cloud storage. No, I do not tie my work to a balloon and send it aloft. That's not what I'm talking about. When we say cloud storage, we're talking about virtual storage on the internet. Now, to understand what a difference this made in my work life, prior to the moment I discovered Dropbox, when I would leave work on Thursday, knowing that typically I'm going to work at home and my study at home on Saturday morning, nearly always do that, I would email myself unfinished work, or I would save it on a portable hard drive or a flash drive. Anybody know what I'm talking about? This is how you work. And this was my habit. The thing was, every time I did that, I had to remember to email it back to myself so I could save it on this computer here and keep the work here and back and forth and vice versa. And sometimes I couldn't remember, is it on the flash drive or did I email it to myself? And did I change it here or did I change it that? I've got two copies of the same sermon. Which one am I supposed to preach? But Dropbox puts all those work files on the internet, in the cloud, so everything I do at the office, when I save it in Dropbox, I go home, I pull it up there, it's the same thing. No flash drives, no email, Bob's world is suddenly simplified. It was better than sliced bread, folks. I got to tell you, that radically changed and simplified my work life, and the good news is now I could work from anywhere. The bad news is now I can work from anywhere. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. So who's in control? Bob or Dropbox? I'm the one. Yeah, somebody. These are going Dropbox, obviously. You know. But I'm the one in charge of that. I decide when Bob works. I decide when Bob is online. Not the internet, not Dropbox. And I have to sustain and maintain that margin. You and I are the same in that respect. And we have to make specific decisions to say, I'm going to unplug, I'm going offline. It's not controlling me. I'm controlling it. And I believe the internet and digital age are wonderful tools, but that's what I believe they are. They are tools. They are not our lives. Our lives belong to the one awesome, unmoving, unshakable, almighty God. The digital age is going to change again tomorrow. God will never change. Which one do you want to trust? So this morning, we're going to move forward into that message series, and we're going to consider today what I believe is one of the most significant components of our life online and demonstrates the health of our life and where we need margin the most. We need to cultivate a healthy life of the mind. If there is anything impacted in your life by your life online, by your internet life, and anything is impacted, it's your mind. Because everything you download into your computer, you're downloading into your mind as well. If you're sitting there watching it, if it's on the screen, it's not just in your computer, it's in your brain, it's in your mind. You're feeding all that into yourself. And we need to first find that margin, find that space, find control again of the life of our mind. And we need to go take a positive step and make sure that we are cultivating a healthy life of the mind. The way we think. The truth we believe. Does the truth you believe come from Facebook or come from the Word of God? When you want an opinion, is the first place you go to Facebook? Or when you want an answer, is the first place you go to Scripture? To the unshakable, unmoving, absolute God and His Word. Facebook turned 10 years old 2 months ago. And there was a celebration of sorts across the digital world and Silicon Valley, people celebrating the rise of Facebook and remembering all that has happened with Facebook. Facebook has greatly changed our world. There are 800 million people on Facebook. None of them are my friends. But when I first created a Facebook account, I go on Facebook maybe once or twice a week, first created a Facebook account, there are people wanting to be my friend from my childhood. I wasn't their friend then. I'm like, I didn't like you then. Why do I want to be your friend now? Please don't take offense to that. Facebook has such an impact on us that scientists have been studying the social impact of Facebook now. Do you know that? And along this course of the series, I'll mention a few of these. Let me mention one this morning. University of California studied 800 Facebook users. and the emotional impact of Facebook on them. And they have concluded, they have determined that by, now if you're not plugged into Facebook, just you may not, you'll have to ask your neighbor, son, daughter, grandperson, these things, what all this means, but you can look it up online too. You can Google this. If you like things on Facebook, they measured, listen to this, they measured how many times people, these 800 people, like things that posted on their Facebook wall and the emotional connection to those things. You know what they have determined? That liking things on Facebook indicates compulsory and even neurotic behavior. Because a person, the more a person likes things on Facebook, likes opinions or pictures or posts on Facebook, the more likely they are to tie their emotional health to people liking them on Facebook. One of the students, a young person in the study, said, when I post something on Facebook, I go to see right away how many people like it. And if 10 to 15 people like it, then I feel good about it. But if 20 or 30 people like it, I feel great about myself. Somebody needs to go offline. Somebody needs to meet real friends and real people. You remember when Facebook was a photo album? You remember when friends were people that we met once a week and had lunch with? You remember that? That face-to-face contact is what we need to recover. We need to get balance and margin and understand our lives from a biblical point of view and not let the digital world control it. We need to control it and give ourselves to God. So this morning, the life of the mind is what needs our attention. That's the starting place. Where are we putting our faith? Where are we putting our trust? What are we believing? Where's the truth coming from? Where is the life of our mind finding its health? Is it balanced? Is it healthy? Are we cultivating a healthy life of the mind? Look with me at one verse of Scripture this morning. One verse of Scripture this morning, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, and find verse 26. Excuse me, Isaiah 26 and find verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. From the Holman Christian Standard Bible, this one verse says, speaking of God, you will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. How many of us desire peace of mind? And how many of us find that it's so difficult in this fast digital age that the constant need to be online, the constant movement and pace of our lives, the one thing we feel we lack is peace of mind? Well, here's what I want us to understand this morning. Our peace of mind is dependent on our state of mind. And we will have peace of mind and a state of mind that's healthy when our minds are dependent on God. Our minds are dependent on God. That's what that scripture says. The mind that is dependent on me, I will hold in perfect peace. Peace of mind comes in your relationship with God. Not how many likes you receive on Facebook. Not how many friends you have on Facebook. Not how much work you can get done through the day online or how many emails you answer. Peace of mind comes in right relationship with God. And cultivating a healthy life of the mind means first cultivating a right relationship with God. In the Hebrew, the word translated mind here does not mean our moment-by-moment thoughts. Instead, the word that Isaiah uses here refers to your whole state of mind. Or we might put it another way, your attitude of life. The big picture way of thinking that answers all your other questions. Where's your mind at? It's your state of mind. It's your attitude of life. Where does it start? Or do you let it be controlled by outside forces? Or do you control your state of mind? Do you say, this is where my mind is. This is what's going to inform everything I think. I'm not going to believe everything I see on the internet. I'm going to let God, because I depend on Him, I'm going to let Him inform me first. It's a state of mind. And the state of mind that has made a decision to be dependent on God is the healthy state of mind. That's what Isaiah is saying. God is saying, I will keep that person in perfect peace of mind. The person who's made a decision in advance that their state of mind is this: I depend on God. I believe what God says. I listen to God. I have a good relationship with God. That's where I start. And that relationship informs everything else about my life. That's a healthy mind. You're cultivating a healthy mind when you make a decision to depend on God. Have a state of mind that God is the one you trust. God is the one that you depend on. We also called it an attitude of mind. Do we have an example of this? Yes, we do. In Scripture, in the book of Philippians in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is extolling how Christ lived his life and his sacrificial life for you and me, what Jesus Christ did. But listen to how he starts it. He tells his readers in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The word there translated mind is the same thing. It means your attitude of life. Your state of mind, your way of thinking. Let this way of thinking be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So the answer is, Jesus Christ was fully dependent on God, fully submissive. All the outside influence, all the noise from distractions from the world. In his time, it wasn't the digital age, but there was just as much noise. There were people pulling him every direction, people wanting everything you can imagine from him. But his mind was in perfect peace. Why? Because it was dependent on God. His attitude of life was, I trust and believe in God. God is the one that informs my thoughts and informs my beliefs and informs my habits, not the world around me. And I believe if he were here today, standing here right here, Jesus would say, God is the one that informs my thoughts, informs my habits, informs my beliefs, not the internet. God is the one I listen to. So our decision, our desire this morning is to make a decision that we will have a state of mind, an attitude of life that is dependent on God. And it starts in how we think. What does that mean? What would that look like? Let's break it down just a bit from Isaiah. First of all, it means that God guards our minds. God guards our minds. Isaiah says that God keeps in perfect peace the mind that is stayed on him or resting in him, dependent on him. The word keeps translates an ancient word for guards. It means that God sets up a guard around your mind. When you say, God, I'm giving my mind and the life of my mind to you, God's response is, I'm going to protect what you give me. I'm going to guard your mind. I'm going to stand at the gate, and I'm going to let you know when anything is going to try to get in your mind that should not be there. We have a responsibility in this as well. In the Old Testament, Psalm 101, the psalmist makes a declaration, I will not set any worthless thing before my eyes. That is, we have a responsibility to protect what goes into our mind, what we're looking at on the internet, what we're watching on TV, what we're reading. We have an obligation, a responsibility ourselves to our minds. But when we start with a decision, God, I want to trust you with the life of my mind. I want to cultivate a healthy mind. God says, well, my response is I'm going to help you guard that mind. I'm going to help you take good care of it. And I'm going to stand at the gateway and watch out for anything coming in. And here's what God does. God warns us against temptation. That's one of the ways he responds when we say, God, guard my mind, I'm depending on you. God will let us know when there is evil out there trying to get in. Now, what we do about that is up to us. If we fall to the temptation and sin, that's our responsibility. We make that choice. But God, and you know what I'm talking about, God lets you know in the life of your mind, don't look at that, don't read that, don't pull up that webpage, don't listen to that person, don't read that email, they're lying to you. What's he doing? He's saying, you told me you were going to depend on me and you wanted me to guard your mind. I'm your guardian and I'm telling you, don't let this in. This is not good stuff to let into your mind. Then the second thing God does, he warns you about that temptation. Then he teaches you truth. He teaches you truth. He says, the word of God, the words of the guardian of your mind, are the true words. Not everything you get out there on the internet. Have you ever known people that as soon as, and in a room this size with this many people, we've got some here, God bless you, I love you, but as soon as anything comes around, the first thing we do is look it up online. It could be a medical condition. It could be a phrase that somebody said. It could be somebody, and here's the big one, somebody's interpretation of Scripture. And we're going to go online and we're going to find everything we can about that. And anything you find is there. I mean, anything you can think of is there, isn't it? Who are these people putting all this stuff in? You have to wonder, who has all that time to upload all this stuff to the internet? Everything's on YouTube. Not that I've seen it, but it's there. And our knee-jerk reaction in this day and time is Google this, Google that, go there. Now, I think Google's great, but hey, let's back off a second and say, are we doing that because we're looking for the truth? Well, if we're looking for the truth, let's go to the one unshakable, immovable, absolute truth, the Word of God. Let's start there. Let that inform our minds. Let God inform our minds. By that, we interpret everything we see online. Not the other way around. So when you say to God, my mind is going to be dependent on you, then God says, I'm going to guard your mind. I'm going to be a partner with you to take care of the life of your mind and to cultivate truth into the life of your mind. The second thing that happens is you experience peace. When you say to God, my mind is dependent on you, God, I'm going to trust you with all things. My mind is dependent on you. You will experience peace. Or as Isaiah put it, perfect peace is for the person whose mind is dependent on God. That word, those two words, perfect peace, translate that good old Hebrew word, shalom. And what shalom speaks of is completeness. It's wholeness. Now here's what he means. Peace of mind that we all seek. If our state of mind is dependence on God, we experience peace of mind because we're resting in God. We're trusting in God. If we don't have peace of mind, if we're distracted in every direction, and we can't sleep at night, we don't rest well, we're constantly on the internet, that means that we're not cultivating a healthy life of the mind and letting God give us that complete peace, that peace of mind that we should have and that he desires to give us, just simply peace of mind. It's the environment that our mind will function in and live in if we are completely dependent on God. We have peace of mind. And how many of us desire peace of mind, desire rest of thoughts, desire to not be distracted and pulled everywhere? Well, we have that when we depend on God and our state of mind is trusting him. Then he gives us that peace of mind. The Apostle Paul, again, in Philippians, helps us out with this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul is talking about trusting God, being anxious for nothing, trusting God in everything in prayer. And then he says, here's what's going to happen. What he's talking about is your mind being trusting God so much, you bring everything to God in prayer. You don't worry about anything. So he says, here's what's going to happen. The peace of God, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he says that peace is beyond comprehension. You and I can't even understand it. But the peace of God, which is beyond all comprehension, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you decided, I'm going to depend on God. My mind, my state of thinking, a state of mind is always going to be dependent on God. God guards my mind. As a result of that, I have peace. Peace of mind. Because I know God's in charge. If I took a poll this morning, a survey of all the things we're worried about, we'd be here for the next 3 days. There is no way we could list everything that we're worried about. And you know one of the things people worry about? This is the truth. Statistics show 12% of the things we worry about are not even our problems. I don't have enough problems of my own, so I get to worry about yours. That's what that means. Why do we do that? You know why we worry like that? We worry incessantly because we didn't say before, God, I depend on you. God, my mind rests in you. God, I'll let you take care of everything. I will put my thoughts on you. I'll go to the truth of the Word of God first. I will trust you, God, first before I worry. But that's a decision we have to make. It doesn't happen by accident. So you rise in the morning and say, God, today, God, and for the rest of this week, God, and for every day after this, but I will remind myself every day, God, I trust you. I depend on you. My mind, God, is in you. And I believe you first. So you'll experience that peace. He guards your mind. You'll experience that peace. And then last, your trust will grow. Your trust grows. The scripture that we read, this one verse, opens and closes with trust. There's an interesting thing about trusting God. Did you know the more you trust God, the more you trust God? It's just that simple. The more you trust yourself, the more you believe everything you see on the internet, everything you read, the more you let your mind keep moving without margin and keep getting distracted by all that, the more you're doing that, the less you're trusting God. But the more you trust God, the more you trust God. So the verse ends with the description, this person who's made this decision to be dependent on God experiences perfect peace of mind. That person, Isaiah says, will trust you, God. It's the natural and supernatural outcome of you and I making a decision to say, God, my mind is dependent on you. Well, what follows that? I trust God. I don't have to understand everything, and I certainly don't have to worry about everything. I don't have to believe or even read everything on the internet. I don't have to spend all day on Facebook. I don't have to tweet all the time or read every tweet that comes along, although they are interesting. But I do need to trust God, because the more I trust God, funny thing, the more I trust God. And it's the natural and supernatural outcome. Because every time I trust God and every time I listen to Him, when God says, don't let that in your mind and I don't let it in, you know what? I have more peace of mind. And I go, wow, God's right. And the more I read His Word and I trust the truth of His Word and I apply that to my life, I trust God even more because God is right. He's right about me. He's right about you. He's right about the world around us. So I find my trust in God, my faith grows when it begins with saying, God, my mind is dependent on you. And I want to cultivate a healthy state of mind, a healthy life of the mind that depends on God. That verse starts that way and ends that way. I want to go back to that one word, steadfast or dependent, as we read it in our translation, that my mind would be steadfast or dependent on God. That word comes from an ancient word that means it will lean on God. It will lean on God. It's a beautiful picture. It even goes beyond saying that we trust God or have faith in God. It says that I lean on God for the load of my life, the anxieties, the worries, the distractions, all the input that comes. I lean on God to help me understand it. I lean on God to take care of me in all of that. Last week, Easter weekend, this place was full. Official count here and in the nursery, 512. Unofficial count was more than that, because God's folks were coming to worship and just coming to worship and just coming to worship. And we had a blessed time, had a wonderful time. And I believe in the days ahead, in fact, I know for a fact in the days ahead, we're going to start working toward the next things God wants us to do, to accommodate the crowds, to accommodate what God's doing, to make sure we stay on board with Him. And one of the things, no doubt, that's going to transpire is we're going to look around this building and we're going to say, well, we've been in this building 10 years as of last weekend. Somebody say, praise God. 10 years as of last weekend. We're going to move forward with the next phase, but in the meantime, we may have to make some adjustments to this building. What if we need to knock out a wall? What if we need to add some space? What if we need to change the way things are arranged? What if we need to do those things? We need to be open to what God wants us to do, right? And let's play pretend that one of those times comes along, and I call up Forrest Taylor. Forrest Taylor, in construction, general contractor. I said, Forrest, meet me at the church. There's a wall that I'm thinking about tearing out. We got to open up some space. Come with me, walk down the hall. Let me show you this wall. And Forrest and I walk down the hall. Now, I show him that wall. I said, Forrest, I want to tear out this wall. And Forrest says, you can't tear out that wall. I want to tear out that wall. You can't tear out that wall. Why can I not tear out that wall? Can I tear out? Yeah, you can tear out that wall. What about, yeah, you can tear out that wall. Well, Forrest, I want to tear out that wall. You can't tear out that wall. Why? Somebody say it. It is a load-bearing wall. And if you tear out that load-bearing wall, no matter what you do to the rest of the space, does it? You're going to be kicking crumbles. You know, you're going to have stocked rocks. No, you can't tear out the load-bearing wall. Listen. God Almighty is the load-bearing wall for your mind. Lean on Him. Put all your rest, all your weight on God and His Word, and you will never fall. If you try to put it on the distractions of the world, on the internet, on any of those other walls going on around you, on the opinions of people, on politics, even on education, if you try to put the weight of your life and the life of your mind anywhere else, it's going to crumble. So God says, He will keep steadfast the life that is dependent, the life, the mind that leans on Him for everything. God will keep you in perfect peace, and you will grow in your trust in Him. I would have to say this morning, some of us in here in this room, our number one issue is that we have not made that decision to simply say, God, let my mind be dependent on You. I worry about everything. I believe everything I read. I'm so distracted. I'm so pulled apart. I'm running in every direction. I need peace of mind. So here's our decision this morning. God, I want to say to You today, God, my mind is going to be dependent on You and You alone. You are the only thing in this world that never moves, never changes, unshakable, all-powerful, absolutely truthful. So God, my mind is on You. Would you say that to Him today? If you've never done that, believer in Christ, listen, if you've never done that, today is the day. You say, I just need to make that decision. It makes so much sense. If I would just come to God and say, God, my mind belongs to You. It's dependent on You. Forgive me for believing everything else that's been going on, but God, I just want to put my mind, make it dependent on You.